This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media's MIMO World. We're about to speak to John Rossi, who's the Vice President for Market Development and Application Labs in the Consumer Business Unit for ST Microelectronics, a multinational corporation. Welcome to Utopia Media's MIMO World.
Thank you very much, Mark. Glad to be here.
Give our listeners just a little background about ST Microelectronics, where it's based, what its mission is.
ST Microelectronics is based in Geneva. We're number five in the world in semiconductors. Last year, we were approximately close to $9 billion. We're about 50,000 people strong with design and support and fab facilities located all over the world. We are a broad-range semiconductor supplier, so we supply everything from diodes and voltage regulators to very complicated system-on-chip ICs. And my focus has been in the consumer space, focused on the set-top market.
Okay, that's what we're going to mostly talk about here. What's a set-top box, and what part does ST play in creating them?
So a set-top box basically takes a digital signal in from a broadband connection, whether it's satellite, cable, terrestrial, or whatever mechanism is connected to the box, and creates the video and audio streams, which would feed a monitor, speakers, and provide an interactive experience for the user, mainly through a program guide but other applications. And ST participates in all the different ICs that make up a set-top box. We commonly look at it from a front end and a back end. So the front end would be the tuner and the demodulator, which takes in the digital signal and creates the bits that can be processed. And then the back end is usually the MPEG audio, video decoder, security, micro, transport mechanism, and the digital to analog function that drives the monitor and the speakers and the user interface.
What's been the rate of increase of power of these set-top boxes over the last, say, 5 years?
Power in terms of energy consumption?
No, in terms of their capability for decoding and presenting signals.
Basically, the set-top box has been growing in terms of MIPS and megaflops and gigaflops, where today we probably have a chip that has gone from just an MPEG decoder to a system-on-chip, which has the capability of probably six or eight different processors running in the GigaOps territory. So you have a product which is a tremendous amount of processing power.
And enough processing power to present high-definition television and more.
That is correct. We've gone from standard definition MPEG-2 now to high definition and MPEG-2, MPEG-4, VC-1, and multiple different codecs out there.
Okay. Now, and what's the place of ST in the ecology of the ecosystem of these units in terms of what it produces and what other companies do as OEMs and how those products finally get into the hands of consumers to put on they don't really put them on top of the sets anymore since the sets are on the wall, what's that food chain like?
We produce, we're strictly a semiconductor manufacturer, so we make the main components that would go inside a standalone box or integrated into a TV to create the decode experience for the user. We've, over the last several years, had to make a large investment in software capabilities where we create the baseline set of drivers, software drivers, for our chips so that in the supply chain of these set-top boxes, you have people who would create application software that would sit on top of our drivers and drive the chip. Then an OEM would then be the manufacturing arm and the integrator of that middleware or that application software, our chip with its drivers, into a box to be sold in either retail or through the operator chains throughout the world.
And these operators would be cable companies or soon phone companies offering video delivery services.
That's exactly right. You have the cable operators, especially in the U.S., the interesting market of cable operators, telco operators, and also the satellite providers.
Okay.
DirecTV and Dish.
Right. Now, one other term that I'd like you to define is reference design. What's a reference design, and how does it fit into this process?
Sure. The reference design is basically a board that ST will create, which has a lot of different I/O, maybe an abundance of memory, to allow people to develop their software, create their application on top of the software, and basically test out their system. Then an OEM will refine and really take the cost out of the system and set it for a production environment. We tend to not create something for the production environment, more to be a baseline reference or an overview of how the chip could be used, but not meant for a final product.
So it's kind of a rough draft, and each of the OEMs then refines it to their own liking.
Exactly. There's always a lot of each operator, each segment of the market requires different types of operating systems, applications, or middleware, conditional access, or security that might sit as an application on top of the box. So it's very hard to create a reference design that would be everything to everybody.
Okay. Talk about the STX7100 platform and how that fits into what we've been talking about.
Sure. This is the world's first MPEG-4 decoder, which is a single chip. It provides everything for the back end of a set-top box that would want to do MPEG-2 or MPEG-4, standard definition or high definition.
Talk about the importance of those two standards, how they differ, and what kinds of media are formatted in them, so as to tell us what kinds of media are going to be able to be distributed through these through that platform.
Sure. MPEG-2 has been around since 1992, and it was adopted as an IEEE standard and basically introduced throughout the world. Today, every continent is distributing content in MPEG-2 format, and as you know, the ATSC has adopted MPEG-2 in the high-definition format for its terrestrial broadcast. Over the last 2 years, there's been a push for a new format, MPEG-4, and MPEG-4 has been in development for several years, and it's meant to increase the bandwidth available to create more programming or allow more programs to be on a specific set of bandwidth. And so the MPEG-4 allows you to do more programs in a given bandwidth.
So it's essentially more compressed.
Exactly. It's a higher level of compression without a loss of quality, giving you both standard definition and high definition.
Is there a relationship between MPEG-2 and MPEG-4 in terms of the bandwidth use or the resolution of the images that they can generate?
Probably a 6 to 10 times the bandwidth allocation, so you could get probably 10 times as much information.
On MPEG-4?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the focus, this has essentially been background for our discussion of what Ergo is going to be doing with ST. Talk about the recent agreement and what that implies for activities of both the companies.
Sure. Ergo is a company out of San Jose which has created a wireless technology And everyone has been focused on trying to improve the communication of the different peripherals in your house. Ergo has succeeded in creating an IC and a system, the Ergo's true MIMO media technology, which allows the device to stream video bit streams to another appliance without the use of a cable. So one could imagine that one box would have data in your living room. You'd want to be able to watch it in your bedroom, and without the use of wires, you could transmit from one box, receive it, and then decode it in another box. Ergo has basically created that system. Where they've partnered up with ST is we have put together their technology on our reference design, and it shows off both the ST decode technology as well as the Ergo wireless technology in a system approach to home communication problems.
Now, the sequence is then that the signal comes in by satellite or cable or a telephone system, and then it's processed by the ST chips, and then it's passed over to the Ergo chip?
That's correct. And then the Ergo chip, basically you'd have a pair of them, one on the transmit side, one on the receive side. The one Ergo chip would transmit the bitstream out, the other Ergo chip would receive it, but bring it into the box, and then decode it for the monitor of choice.
And what kind of form factor is necessary at the receiving end after these signals are sent wirelessly from the ST set-top box? Are they going to be built into the display devices, or do they come in their own little mini box, or how does that work?
Today, Ergo has created a USB dongle, so it'd be you plug it into any USB available outlet on the box. And again, as a pair, transmitting and receiving, it's quite an efficient mechanism to pair up a transmit and receive set-top boxes as opposed to using wires in the house.
Tell people who are new to this field what a dongle is.
It's basically just a small, maybe like a mouse, a small small configuration attached on a wire, and you would plug it into a USB slot on the back of a set-top box.
Okay, so does that mean a set-top box needs to accompany the large panel television in the bedroom?
It could, if the set-top box function is integrated into the monitor.
Right.
Then all you would need is a USB plug coming out of the monitor. You'd plug the MIMO technology in, and you'd be able to stream video effectively.
Do state-of-the-art monitors now typically come with USB ports?
It really depends on the model, the make, the manufacturer, but more and more USB is showing up on monitors and set-top boxes as a connectivity choice, so that you could hang a hard disk drive or a media connection, a network connection to that device.
Right. So for your set-top box integrated with Ergo to work, the monitors themselves need to sort of move to the next generation to be USB ready, essentially.
Yes. Most monitors today that you find in the house require a box to receive a signal. Terrestrial signals are now mandated by law to be integrated into most monitors.
Right.
But if you're going to receive your signal from cable, telco, or satellite, you require a separate box.
For each screen?
For each screen.
And so does that mean that a typical home would buy multiple set-top boxes one that would be hooked up, say, to the Fios from Verizon, and each of the others which would be connected to separate screens?
Today, there's a view that that's one way to outfit your house. The other is that maybe one box could service multiple monitors.
But each of those monitors would need a dongle of some sort, obviously, to get the signals.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct, because usually there's some level of decode that has to happen, and that effectively could be where, you know, MIMO technology would come in.
Okay. Say just a little bit about MIMO, what it stands for and how it works.
From my knowledge of it, MIMO stands for Multiple Input, Multiple Output. And it's something that was developed by Ergo. I don't have a lot of details on the technology itself. Again, we've been just providing the set-top as a effective means of decoding the signal.
Right. Okay. And what's your understanding of the range and the speed and the reliability that your reference design and incorporating the MIMO 3G from Ergo will provide?
Well, my understanding is that this can provide basically a high definition experience from one set top to the other. It's capable of 240 megabits per second of transmission, and with that you can service more than a one-to-one set-top experience, or you could transmit to more than one different monitor from one set-top. So
about how much bandwidth is necessary for a good HD signal, and so we could figure out it had to be divided up from the 240?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. There's no really good answer for that. It really depends on the content, the quality of the content, and if you're doing any type of manipulation of the data. But most, in a high-definition environment, 80 to 100 megabits is probably a good signal.
So you could probably run three different high-definition channels at once on three different set-top?
240 is very possible, yes.
Okay. Talk a little bit about the business part of this deal. Who's licensing what to whom in this arrangement between ST and Ergo?
So we're working together to show wireless connections in the home. Together, but if a customer wants the Ergo technology, they will go to Ergo to buy it, and customers who want the set-top decoder would come to ST.
Okay.
Working together, if you were to want a demo or see the application working, you could go to either company, and we have the systems available.
Okay. And is there any estimate about what these boxes are going to cost and when they're going to be available?
That's something that I never talk about, because that's not our business. We make chips, and make box, and it's a great relationship.
When are the chips going to be available?
Chips are available today.
Okay. How do you see this as synergizing with new delivery systems to the home, such as Fios, the fiber optic system from Verizon?
Well, again, when you have a system coming into the house, Fios basically delivers all the bits that anyone could want, and then the box is responsible for the decoding and the decryption of those signals coming into the home. Once you get it into the home, then you have the challenge of taking that signal and moving it to multiple rooms in your house, wherever you have a TV. The advent of wireless technology allows you to service different rooms in your house without the requirement of wires. And everyone knows, if you've ever built a home theater or tried to wire up a home stereo or put another TV in a room that you hadn't anticipated when you first were there, that's not always an easy prospect of wiring up a house. This allows you to do it easily. If anyone's put a wireless network for a home computer, this is the same type of thing. Put a monitor where you want it and start watching.
Okay. Talk about what applications besides the delivery of high-definition video that we've been talking about will be enabled by this combination from Ergo and ST.
It's strictly this. Ergo could be used to transmit bits anywhere. ST is enabling the video and audio experience to a different room. So it's all about watching TV for us. You could stream audio to a room. You could stream video to a room. Pictures. Today that you do on a set-top box.
What about voice over IP and gaming?
It's very possible down the road. Anything's possible. Today it's been mainly focused on the expansion of TVs in the house.
Okay. Where is the silicon that you make actually being made in the world?
Today, it's manufactured in our Crolles facility in France. Crolles is a town just north of Grenoble where we have one of our design centers.
Right.
It's a 90 nanometer capable fab, now manufacturing 65 nanometer. So it's a state-of-the-art, world-class facility.
Okay, and what kind of reaction have you been getting from OEMs on the announcement of this product?
Quite strong. We've had our MPEG-4 product in production since the end of the third quarter of last year, in 2005. The advent of this announcement with Ergo has created a lot of excitement in the industry.
Okay, you're a huge company. How important is this for your overall business?
Any implementation in the home network is great, and we continue to work in multiple areas in the consumer market to outfit the home and the set-top box market. So there's a lot of growth potential in all aspects of the home media network. And so this is one part of it, and it's very exciting.
All right. I want to thank you for sharing the excitement and the information with us today on Mimo World.
My pleasure, Mark. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.